Here's the question. For those of you new to Sunday school, we've been having a course this year called Hard Questions. People have been writing down on cards hard questions about life or about the Bible or some verse in the Bible or something, and I've been trying to study them and read them and then answer them in this class. This is number 43 this year. This is the 43rd question, and I just read them exactly as they were presented to me. This is something we have to deal with sometimes. The question is this: can someone be too meek? Before and after I was born again, I've been criticized for being too nice. People seem to take advantage of me for that. I can't lash out back at them or step on them to get ahead in this world like other people do. So the question is, can someone be too meek? M-E-E-K. Before and after I was born again, I was criticized for being too nice. People seem to take advantage of me for that. I can't lash out back at them or step on them to get ahead in this world like other people do. Can someone be too meek? Well, my simple answer is this: no, you cannot be too meek. As long as we really know what the word meek means. Okay, it sounds by the tenor of these words in the question, there may be a little bit of a misunderstanding here on what the word meek means. Meekness is a good thing. It's a biblical thing. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And meek people are very, very strong people, as we'll see by the end of the lesson today. But if this person really knows what the word meek means, then the question, can someone be too meek? The answer is no. You cannot be too meek. That's like saying, can someone be too spiritual? Or can someone be too loving or kind or caring? Of course, the answer is no. Now, what does the word meek mean? The first thing I want to do is give you some definitions from different dictionaries and the Greek, and so on and so forth, so we know for sure what meekness is. And then I want to get into some illustrations and some promises to the meek. And I think when I get to the promises that God has given to meek people, and meek people only, you'll say, I don't want to give that up. I don't want to give up all these promises just to become assertive and just to become aggressive. But let me give you some definitions. Usually when people think of the word meek, they think of humble or poor or lowly. Those are pretty close. But another definition is mildness of disposition, gentleness of spirit. Now here's about the best definition that I came across this week studying this out. Again, for those coming in, the question is, can someone be too meek? That question was given to me. I'm trying to answer it, as we've been doing all year with questions. Listen to this. Meekness toward God is that disposition of spirit in which we accept His dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. In the Old Testament, the meek are those holy, or that means completely relying on God rather than their own strength to defend them against injustice. This meekness towards evil people means knowing God is permitting the injuries they inflict, that He is using them to purify His elect, and that He will deliver His elect in His time. Gentleness or meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. It stems from trust in God's goodness and control over the situation. The gentle person is not occupied with self at all. This is a work of the Holy Spirit, not of the human will. Galatians 5, verse 23. That's a tremendous definition. I don't have time to read it again. But basically what it means is that we are depending on God to fight our battles for us. Now, of course, the question comes up, well, does that work in 2006? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Notice here in Isaiah 41 and verse 17, it says, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. So notice the difficulties of this person's situation. They don't even have any water to drink. They're poor and they're needy. The Lord says, I'll hear them. And the God of Israel will not forsake them. Here's another definition. Mild of temper, soft, gentle. Now, by soft, it doesn't mean feminine. But it means gentle. The old days, they used to call men gentlemen. And that was a good thing to say about a man at one time. That didn't mean he was a weakling. Or that he was puny or stepped on or spit on. But in gentleness was a great strength. And I hope you'll understand this as we go on. Not easily provoked or irritated. Yielding. Given to forbearance under injuries. Submissive to the divine will. Not proud or self-sufficient or refractory. Not peevish or apt to complain of divine dispensations. So in other words, there's different seasons in our life that God allows us to go through, and some of them, which we repulse at most of all, are called suffering seasons. And sometimes these suffering seasons God allows are brought upon us by other human beings, and they are a tool in God's hands to make us more perfect. It could be having to work under an ornery boss, or perhaps live with a mate that while God is changing him or her, there's a certain amount of uncomfortableness because he or she just doesn't get it, and they're kind of self-serving and self-interesting, and oftentimes you end up being hurt by that. Or it could be living under parents that have made your life unbearable. And all this may be in God's divine plan. We do believe, the scripture says in Romans 8 and verse 28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. You know, in my life, my mother died of cancer when I was 4 years of age, and my dad turned to alcohol and very quickly remarried, and I had to live under the subjection to a stepmother that was very, very difficult, if I could be kind about it, a very, very difficult time until I went up into the Army. It was a very, very difficult time in my life. But now that I'm on the other side and I'm 49 years of age, I can look back and say, I thank God I did not have an easy childhood. Let me say that again. I can thank God I did not have an easy childhood, because I noticed that so many of those that I grew up with who did live on easy street never had or learned the character or the discipline for life that they would later need, and that when they faced hardships, they were not able to deal with it. They didn't have the character that often hardships bring about to deal with life's problems. And there are difficult seasons. Every life is tested. And some of them were not prepared for testing because they lived soft, spoiled lives on easy street with silver spoons in their mouth. And they were not even prepared for the first disagreement they had in marriage. They couldn't even handle that. And so as time goes on, I look back and I say, thank you, Lord, for those seasons that you ordained in my life of some very, very difficult times that I was able to you know, learn, hey, life is tough. It prepared me for later. So all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. That includes the hard times. I'm glad I've never had to go through something like Job went through. Would you read that book in the Bible? It's right before Psalms. And the things that he went through in about the first, third of his life. And that there's two scriptures in Job that said that that trial lasted him months and months and months. But boy, the last two-thirds of his life were just blessed of God. And his faith was purified, his faith was perfected, and so on and so forth. It made him a better man for the rest of his life. But he had some struggles, but eventually he yielded to what God was doing. Now, to this person who asked me this question, can someone be too meek? Let me read it again. Before and after I was born again, this person writes, I've been criticized for being too nice. People seem to take advantage of me for that. I can't lash out back at them or step on them to get ahead in the world like other people do. Can someone be too meek? To the person asking this question, I know who it is, and to some of you that have asked this question, I want to ask you this question back. I'll answer a question with a question. How are you doing? By being meek, are you that far behind? How are you doing physically? Well, pretty good. How are you doing financially? Well, pretty good. How are you doing mentally? Pretty good. How are you doing emotionally? Pretty good. How are you doing spiritually? Pretty good. Then has it cost you that much so far to be meek? Those self-assertive, aggressive people in your life who you think by their self-assertiveness and aggressiveness are getting ahead, are they really ahead? The meek shall inherit the earth. Self-assertive people, aggressive people, seem to be getting ahead. But you look at the race of life at the end, and they do not get ahead. It's the meek who get ahead. Now, we live in a day and age of self-promotion. That's what they tell us. Well, you got to promote yourself. You got to be aggressive. You got to be assertive, and so on and so forth. It says in the Psalms, promotion comes neither from the east or from the west or from the south. It says, but God raises up one, takes down another. And brethren, you look through history, the meek have inherited the earth. Not those who promote themselves. In fact, you look at the aggressive and the self-assertive, and they usually, look at politics, look at governments, the aggressive and the self-assertive. Very rarely do they even live a normal lifespan. And so, to that person, you know, and I know this person, and he's a good man. It has not cost you anything to be meek. But what will it cost you to set aside meekness? Well, turn to Psalm 22, and let me show you some things now. Every one of us is tempted to set aside meekness. Every one of us is tempted at times in our life to say, that's it, I'm tired of being stepped on, I'm tired of being walked on, I'm tired of being spit on, I'm tired of being pushed around and shoved around and so on and so forth. That's it, I'm not taking it anymore. And so at that point we're ready to say, I'm not going to be meek anymore. I'm taking this meekness thing and throwing it out. Not really realizing how valuable it's been to you. You know, I'm not the greatest example of meekness, I know that, but in all my life, 49 years of age, I've only been in one fist fight. And that was provoked, and I regretted even doing that, and I made up with the fellow. We ended up becoming good friends, and I think I was only like in 9th, 10th grade. But now I'm 49 years of age, and I'm saying to myself, you know, my dad pretty much taught me, and our whole family, all the Coles are pretty much meek people. It's just something in our family. We're not that far behind. I could take you through my dad's life, all my uncle's lives, and aunt's lives, and so on and so forth, and God has blessed the Coles. And we haven't had to fight. We haven't had to do dishonest things. We haven't had to work under the table and resist and butt heads with the government all of our life and so on and so forth. I'm looking at myself at 49 years of age, and the Lord's given me, a good marriage for 27 years and some pretty good kids and everything. I wonder if I'm doing good financially, and I'm not rich, not poor, I'm not trying to be either. But I'm scratching my head saying, where have I suffered from being meek? Who am I that far behind at my age? But those of you that are about ready to say, I'm sick of this meekness, I'm going to throw this out. Here's what it's going to cost you, and I'll give you about 10 things. Number one, satisfaction. Look at the promises God gives to the meek. Psalm 22:26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Boy, do I want to throw out meekness and throw out that promise? Satisfaction. Look at Psalm 25, verse 9. The meek will he guide with judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Here's a second promise. Guidance and knowledge is given by God to the meek. Do I want to throw that out? Look at Psalm 37 and verse number 11. Here's another promise to the meek. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Boy, do I want to throw that out? You know what verse, you know what this is saying right here? And by the way, Jesus quoted this psalm right here. Psalm 37:11 says this, the meek will get ahead in this life. That's what it says. The meek shall inherit the earth. That's what it means. The meek are the ones that God makes sure gets ahead in this life. Do I want to throw that out? And say, I'm tired of that. I'm going to become self-assertive and aggressive. I'm going to have my own way. Well, you're going to throw out a lot of good things if you decide to throw out meekness. How about peace? And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. How valuable is peace? Yeah, it's pretty valuable to me. Psalm 76, 9. When God arose the judgment to save all the meek of the earth. This refers to Psalm 76, 9, that meekness brings deliverance, liberation, victory. Psalm 147, verse 6, you can just write these down if you want. I'm just going through verse after verse of promises to the meek. Psalm 147, verse 6, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. See, whether you want to admit it or not, God superintends in the lives of every human being. The wicked may have their way for a short time, but then God casts them to the ground. But it says right here, exaltation. The Lord lifteth up the meek. And then over in Isaiah, chapter 11, these are all promises to the meek. Aren't these great? Isaiah 11, verse 4, But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Isaiah 11, 4 talks about divine defense. Divine defense. God will come up and he will defend the meek. Before I go any farther, who was the meekest man in the Old Testament? Anybody remember the story? What? Moses, okay? Now write this down and study it. Numbers chapter 12. Verses 1 through 16 tells us that two rebels, it happened to be his brother and his sister, Aaron and Miriam, confronted Moses when he began to lead Israel through the wilderness as the leader of the congregation of Israel. And they began to contend with their brother Aaron and Moses, or Aaron and Miriam, his sister, and said, who do you think you are? God, you're not the only one God's speaking by, and you just think you're better than everybody else. And you know, God can use us too, and you're not the only one. And the Bible says that Moses was the meekest man on the earth, and he did not defend himself when his own brother and sister started railing on him. But what happened was, shortly into that, God intervened and said, I'm going to show you three who I have chosen. And pretty soon, Miriam, his sister, was covered her whole body with leprosy. And God broke her and God humbled her. And you know what Moses did when his sister was covered with leprosy by the hand of God's judgment? He fell on the ground before God and he began to ask God to have mercy on his sister. That's what meek people do. He didn't say, aha, I knew that was coming. God's on my side. God's against you. No, he didn't do that. He fell on his face and began to pray for Miriam to be healed. And it took 7 days, but God healed Miriam of her leprosy. And that was actually a good thing for Miriam. She became a great leader of women in the Old Testament. For the next 37 years, she would live and really help out. So it helped her to be humbled. But God defended Moses. Not very long after, about 250 men came up to him. Remember that? And they said, who do you think you are? Something's going off over here. Something in the bag? That must be Rebecca's. It stopped. All right. About 250 men showed up and began to contend with Moses. Remember that? And they said, you know, they were the elders of Israel, and they said, you know, again, you take too much upon you. God, the whole congregation's holy. Who do you think you are? Tell us what to do all the time. By the end of that story, what happened? Moses prayed and cried and to the Lord, prayed, but the earth opened up, and all those people fell into the earth. And another time, the congregation rose up against Moses, and he never, ever defended himself. And God sent fiery serpents all through the congregation. About 14,000, I think, died that time. They got bit by poisonous snakes and so on. But in every one of those cases, Moses never defended himself, but God always came to his aid and his rescue and took care of the matter eventually. And that's what it's saying here in the Bible. God will be our defense. Now here's one that'll go along with our theme. Look at Isaiah 29. Our theme this year is joy. Do you want joy? It doesn't come by throwing meekness out of your life. It comes by pursuing meekness. Isaiah 29:19 says, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. So notice, increased joy comes to the meek. I'm giving you a bunch of things here that are promised to meek peoples because I don't want any of you to finally get to that place of exasperation where you say, I'm tired of being told what to do and use and so on. I'm not taking it anymore. I think the devil tempts all of us to throw away the Christian graces from time to time. And he tempts us to throw away meekness. And if we do, remember all these things you're going to throw away with it. What about the gospel? Isaiah 61:1 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. You know, it's usually meek people that receive salvation, not proud people, but meek people. And again, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is the inner strength to say, God, I'm depending on you to take care of this matter. I have been defrauded. I have been cheated. I've been stolen from. I've been slandered. I've been gossiped. People have said things about me that are wrong. They've lied about me. They're spreading rumors about me and so on and so forth. You can try to vindicate yourself at that point in your life in one of two ways, by words or by works. But which one in the long run works better? Works. Did you ever try to vindicate yourself by words? Did you ever try it? Did you ever try to defend yourself by words? What happens? The situation gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. But if you vindicate yourself by your works, nobody can argue with those. That's the strong person. That's the strong person. The person who vindicates themselves by their works. And God will always make sure that your works vindicate. And works have a way of having the truth come out. Now you've got to be patient for that to happen. I remember one lady, Christian lady, worked at a bank. And there were some others working at the bank. All she did was came in and cleaned at night. And she was a dear, godly, poor Christian lady, and she just cleaned the bank, mopped the floors, and so on and so forth. And these people that were higher ups in the bank began to do some dishonest things, began to take a little money here and shave a little money here and so on and so forth. And they began to see the walls closing in on them, that they're about ready to get caught. And so they left some money on the floor of the bank one night. And they closed up, and their intentions were to get a camera recording of this poor lady taking that money and putting it in her pocket and saying, see, she's the one that's been stealing from the bank. And so they set her up. She was a meek, godly Christian woman. And she saw the money. And they got this all on film. She found an envelope. She wrote on the envelope, I found this money on the floor of the bank. I didn't know what to do with it. And so I wanted to leave it in your office. And she put an envelope and slipped it under the president's door. And to make a long story short, those that were shaving money and stealing money from the bank were caught and arrested and put into jail, and she was promoted. She was promoted. You see, her works vindicated her. Her works vindicated her. They were trying to pin it on her. Your words, you can try all you want to defend yourself with your words, but I've never really known it to work. This works in marriage, too, by the way. You know, your wife starts to rail on you or your husband starts to rail on you. Just show love. Don't argue back. Show them love. Show her love. Your works will vindicate you. I've seen it change people's lives. In Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3, here's something else about meekness. And we're almost done. Bust a little early. But in Zephaniah 2 and verse 3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So meekness leads to protection. If God does bring judgment upon a nation or a city or a town or a house or something, the Lord says he makes note of the meek that are in that situation and often spares them of his anger. Now everybody, find Amos. I want you to see Amos chapter 2. Because here's the warning that I've been trying to give you, that Amos gave as a prophet 787 years before Christ. And it's my same warning to you today, and that's do not abandon meekness. Notice what Amos says in chapter 2, in verses 6 through 7. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. They pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor and turn aside the way of the meek. Notice that. They turned aside the way of the meek. God is saying to Israel, I'm going to judge you, I'm going to punish you because you have turned aside the way of the meek. You have caused the meek to say, hey, I'm not going to be meek anymore. You have agitated them so much that meek people have quit being meek and started becoming aggressive and self-assertive. And as a result, punishment is going to come upon Israel. Now, my warning today is this. Don't let anyone turn you aside from the way of meekness. Jesus was meek. He said in Matthew 11, and verses 28 through 30, he said, I am meek and lowly of heart. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. That doesn't mean Jesus was weak. It just means he commended to God all of his battles. How many times did they try to kill him? Now, eventually he was crucified, but that was the will of God. That was what he had came to do. But prior to that, they tried to kill him about 10 times. And I've gone through that. There's been many, many times. Now, there was a few times where he did use his feet and ran away from the situation. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not a lack of meekness, you know, to get out of a situation where you may be physically harmed. But Jesus trusted in the Lord, and it wasn't until his hour was come that he was crucified. But God delivered Jesus time after time after time from physical harm, verbal barrages, and all of his enemies, and kept them away from him, from hurting him, even Satan on the Mount of Temptation. Couldn't get to Jesus. And no physical harm was done to Jesus until his crucifixion, which was the will of God for his life. Now, I've talked about Moses, and I've talked about Jesus, Old Testament, New Testament. So I want to just close and say this is for women, too. 1 Peter 3 and verse 4 talks about women. It says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The Bible says a woman ought to have an ornament of a meek, that is, the inner strength to depend on God, to fight her battles, and to take care of situations, and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, one of the sad things about the day and age in which we live in is to see how many women today are casting aside meekness for self-assertiveness and aggression. And you may think they're getting ahead, but you really step back, and you get old, and you step back, and you look at it, and it's not, and they're not. Meekness is how we change people. So let me read again the definition of meekness. Can someone be too meek? I believe the answer is no. And let me read again in closing the definition of meekness. Meekness toward God is that disposition of spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. In the Old Testament, the meek are those wholly relying on God rather than their own strength to defend themselves against injustice. This meekness toward evil people means knowing God is permitting the injuries they inflict, that he is using them to purify his elect, and that he will deliver his elect in his time. Gentleness or meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. It stems from trust in God's goodness and control over the situation. The gentle person is not occupied with self at all. This is a work of the Holy Spirit, not of the human will. So many examples. Look at Joseph in prison. He didn't scream, I got framed, I didn't rape her. He just left it in God's hands. Joseph made out all right, didn't he? Yeah, there were a few years where he had to really go through some things that were unjust, but God makes things up in the end for the person who's meek. A lot of examples in the Bible that we could share. But our time's up. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Sunday school this morning, and help us, O God, not to take meekness and all the promises that are attached to it and throw it out just so we can have some pleasure of being self-assertive or aggressive. Lord, the meek shall inherit the earth. Jesus, you repeated that in the Beatitudes. And you meant by that that the meek will be the ones, with God's help, who will get ahead in the end. So, Lord, help us to get our eyes off of others and those who we think are getting ahead or think are getting over, but then have increased faith in you and trust in you with our lives. For our lives are in your hands, thy word says. Now we pray the Holy Spirit would bless our next service and teach us more from thy word today. In Jesus' name, amen.